Blog Talk Radio.
Children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my need. A lonely place to be. So I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I'll live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity because I'm brave. Love of all, what's happening to me? I found the way. Love of all inside of me. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I'll live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because of grace, love of all, what's happening to
that special place.
Welcome live on Tribe Family Channel, Men and Women of Honor, live brought to you by Gumbo for the Soul International. I am Beverly Black, and it is an honor and a privilege to be here today to discuss legacies. Our guest is the author of Making Your Mark, Leaving a Legacy, and then A Grand Exit That'll Have Their Tongues Wagging. And I love the title. The author is the very interesting Mr. Peter Davidson. I am your host, Beverly Black, and I'm the creator of Tribe Family Channel, which is a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. Our honoring men and women is by way of our books. We have 5 open calls for submissions, that you are welcome to take part in. Please visit www.gumboforthesoulinternational.com and you will find the PDF files, which you can download. And we're pushing out the deadline so you can allow some additional time beyond the deadlines that you see on the documents. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it gives me a privilege to welcome to Men and Women of Honor Radio, Mr. Peter Davidson. Good evening, Mr. Davidson. How are you?
Well, hi, Beverly. It's good talking to you again.
It's an honor and it's a privilege. Thank you so much for having us and for also helping to sponsor Tribe Family Channel so that we could be on the air and offer our platform for Men and Women of Honor Radio. So thank you so much for this, and we appreciate it. We do want to remind our listeners that we're about philanthropy, health, and wellness. And so when you hear me thank people for their sponsorship, it's because we're about philanthropy and we don't do this on our own. Gumbo for the Soul Publications publishes books based on health and wellness, and we donate those books to organizations that we adopt. We publish on literacy, adoption, foster care, men's health, women's health, suicide, military by way of call to serve, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this evening's show is going to be about, again, our legacies and those that we are honoring. So, Mr. Davidson, my first question to you is going to be whether or not you are in the vein of making your mark and leaving a legacy. Are you also carrying a legacy which was handed to you, or are you carving out a legacy that you're handing off to a new generation of torchbearers?
Well, a legacy is something that a person creates that will benefit current and future generations of people. Some of those things might be tangible, some might be intangible. And in some way or the other, almost every person creates some kind of a legacy that they create for other people to enjoy, and that will benefit them. As far as my creating legacies, one of the things that I have done for many, many years is to be involved in education one way or the other. One of those is through the books that I write. The book that you mentioned, Making Your Mark, Leaving a Legacy, and then A Grand Exit That'll Have Their Tongues Wagging, is my 30th published book, so I've tried to leave some things for people to benefit from my books. I also presented a large number of seminars around the country, and hopefully the information I shared with people will be a legacy for them that they can share with others down the line as well.
Awesome, awesome. Phenomenal response so that our listeners can be real clear about what a legacy is. Because we are all in some way leaving our mark, be it intangible or tangible, by sheer existence and our actions and how we've lived has impacted society. So the fact that you have made such an impact in books, in publishing, and in most of all education, which impacts the minds of people, is phenomenal. What are some of your most memorable seminars in the fact that you have presented nearly 700 across this country? What are your most memorable ones, would you say, where you really feel like you left that impact and that legacy?
I created 3 different writer seminars for people that are interested in writing things for potential publication. One of them was a general writer seminar called Peter Davidson's Writer Seminar that was just in general for people interested in writing about anything. Tried to give some basic information and knowledge to them as they were starting out or pursuing their writing career that maybe could save them years and years of time of kind of thrashing around and trying to discover these things the hard way for themselves. The second seminar was how to write a children's picture book. Many, many people have created a children's story for their own children or grandchildren, or simply created a story they would like to create. There are certainly some specific guidelines in creating a children's book or book of any kind. So I think that was a helpful thing to provide indirectly some things for children. And then the third writer seminar was there are different ways to get your book published. And this seminar was named that, how to get your book published, in one of the 3 main ways that are available out there. And just trying to share with people what those opportunities were, the advantages and disadvantages either way, that hopefully would save them maybe years and years of time in trying to sort those things out themselves. And that would speed their writing career or pursuit ahead much faster for them and much more beneficial for the readers.
You know, any information along the vein of gearing a writer in the proper direction is going to do just what you said, shave years off of, you know, what would ultimately cost them a lot of money, a lot of man hours, and a lot of mistakes to be made, because there's a sea waiting to drown anybody that is looking to get into writing. So I'm pretty sure that your seminars were very educational, and just really had to be something worth attending. For those of us that weren't able to attend any of the seminars, are there any audio or video archives that someone can subscribe to by you? Do you have like a YouTube channel or anything?
You know, I don't have that, Beverly. At one time, I started to create a video for the children's picture book seminar, and I had it filmed, and the guy that did the filming, it just didn't work out, so I never did get back at doing that. But there is a lot of good information available if people want to look online or get some of the good books that are available out there. You have to kind of sort out the information that's of value to you, but if people have a strong interest in writing and getting published, certainly they can find information that will be very helpful to them.
And I'm sure the many books and seminars that you have gone through a career of producing is going to be beyond beneficial. I'm definitely going to be looking into it. There's a lot of different names that you've published with: McGraw-Hill Book Publishing, Carrie G. Putnam Publishers, Haworth Press, Sweet Memories Publishing, Northwestern. So you're pedigreed and have just a plethora of genres: fiction, nonfiction, college textbooks, children's picture books, and then again over nearly 700 one-day seminars, you know, across a 15-state area and beyond. So that's a plethora of information and gems to be had by author phenomenon Peter Davidson, because I don't know anyone that can boast of this level of speaking and teaching to the masses like this. Now, in leaving your legacy, how did you come up with this title, Making Your Mark, Leaving a Legacy, and then a grand exit that'll have their tongues wagging?
You know, originally, my thought in writing this book was to write a book about one's final farewell and the time leading up to that, where a person could embrace that time, if possible, to find as much enjoyment as one could out of it, and to develop things that would awe, amuse, and confound one's friends and relatives as one planned a final farewell. And what really kind of put it together for me is that a friend of mine who is a great Jimmy Buffett fan passed away, and his celebration of life was held at an open-air bar along the lake. And it was a beautiful summer day, and the preacher who was heading up the affair started out by saying, "I never thought I'd say this at a funeral, but let's all go to Margaritaville." And in that moment, somebody pushed the button on the sound machine, and Jimmy Buffett's song Margaritaville came on. And at that moment, somebody pulled a little tractor out from around behind the building and pulled this deceased guy's boat out there that he was so fond of, and the party was on. And I thought, gosh, well, that's the way to have a grand exit. And that was kind of the beginning of the idea for the book. And then I thought, well, instead of just talking about that final part of one's life, I really should include one's entire life of how to make a mark on society, friends, and family throughout one's lifetime, how to leave a legacy throughout one's lifetime, and even in the final events of one's life, how to still make a mark and still leave a legacy for people to follow in future generations.
I love it, and I had such a blast with you on our previous show, A Book Is Born. And when you told me that, I all but fell out of my chair. That is too funny. And then what you've done is being inspired to that degree. I mean, come on now. You're at your friend's home going, and now you've been inspired by such a grand exit as that, that the book is that's the seed planted in you for this book, Making Your Mark, Leaving a Legacy, and then a grand exit that'll have their tongues wagging. Now, your friend left his mark on you and had you write a book as phenomenal as this. And then to be able to offer some mantras, some proverbs for living, if you will, making your mark. Tell us about some of that which is within the book when it comes to making your mark, as we are all doing in some way or another.
know, I think what you said is very, very true. Everybody is making a mark on others some way or the other, whether we realize it or not on a daily basis. You know, everybody is really famous for something. It may not be a big deal, but it's something that you can look at a person that you know and say, well, here's something interesting or unique about that person. One of my friends, for instance, parks his car at least 100 feet from any other car in the parking lot when he goes to the mall. And invariably, there's a bucket of rust sitting next to him when he comes out, but he's known for that. I have another friend that absolutely refuses to read assembly instructions. And when he gets done putting together a chair or a chest or something, there's invariably little few bolts and screws left over. He is also one who, as many men do, maybe not so many women, but men often refuse to ask for directions. And he is a guy, when he's going someplace, you might see him driving around in circles trying to find his location because he simply will not stop and ask anybody. I have another friend who before, about a half an hour before his favorite football team's game, will send out a text of his fearless prediction. And his fearless prediction is predicting the score of the game. And one of the fun things about it is he is rarely even close to being right. But at least it's a lot of fun, and it starts a game-long conversation between all of the people that are in that link about the game and so on. And there's just numerous things like that, Beverly, where a person just have a unique characteristic that really is part of their own DNA, and it's a part of their legacy that they are leaving for others. Then, of course, there are many other types of legacies that people leave behind. Some of them are through writing, a thing that you and I are involved in, writing one's biography. Some people say, gosh, I'd like to write my story, but I don't think I could. Really, anybody that can write a letter home to mom or dad or to a son or daughter could write their own biography if they just sat down, put in the time, and did it. And it would be a great, great legacy for their family, their friends, and for future generations as well. So those are some great ways of leaving a legacy. And then, of course, by writing books of other kinds. A nonfiction book that gives some information that people can use, a book of poetry that gives some insight into some ideas that people might think about, a cookbook that future generations can use for family dinners are certainly some additional ways of having some rather simple but really meaningful types of legacies that people can pass on.
I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, and when you speak about, like, some of our characteristics, some of the things we do, even our idiosyncrasies as humans, we pass on our socialization. So some of those fun things like getting rebel rousing before the football game, if you will, right? Or, you know, telling those stories. My mantra, one of my mantras for Gumbel for the Soul Publications is everyone has a story to tell. Who will you trust to tell yours? And so you're absolutely correct to tell our listeners that if you can write a letter home, you can write your autobiography. You can simply take the time to sit down and start with the simple framework of who you are, where you've been, what you've done. And before you know it, you're into your story. But it's about taking that action. One of the things that I like to be known for is being positive, feeling as though there's a solution in the problem. It may be that I've worked around engineers in the San Jose, Palo Alto area, which was known in the 90s and early 2000s, Silicon Valley. So you would never bring a problem to the engineers without having the solution that you're presenting about the problem, you see, and then you can proceed to a positive resolution. So I'm known for being positive when problems crop up, and I love to help people figure out, you know, a solution and to look at it from a different angle. You can help people create paradigm shifts simply by looking at something differently. And so we are doing just that on Men and Women of Honor Radio with my guest, Peter Davidson. He is the author of Making Your Mark, Leaving a Legacy, and then a Grand Exit That'll Have Their Tongues Wagging. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back after this brief message from one of our sponsors.
In our lives every day, we are faced with difficult challenges that overwhelm us, that take a lot out of us emotionally, mentally, and physically. There are so many things that we can't control. Being held down by the struggles of life, we seek a transformation and a need to connect to the Lord, trusting in Him to complete us and to direct and lead us in the right path. From song lyricist and Christian author Alan T. Black comes his latest book, Just a Closer Walk, sharing the story of a journey that is sure to resonate with each reader. Just a Closer Walk is the third book for best-selling Christian author Alan T. Black. For more information, please visit alantblack.com. That's alantblack.com.
Now, be sure to visit Alan T. Black if you are looking for an inspiring author. He's not preachy. He's not holy moly woly, you know, ghosty, religious. He is simply a down-to-earth brother that writes and loves God. And even if you are not a Christian, you can appreciate positive words from someone that is a writer, word engineer, and wordsmith, alantblack.com. And we are back live on Men of Honor Radio with Beverly Black, Gumbel for the Soul Publications, Tribe Family Channel at www.gumbelforthesoulinternational.com. That is our home on the web. My guest today is author Peter Davidson, and he has been giving us just some really positive views and a way to have an outlook that may be different than something you've ever thought of. Making Your Mark, Leaving a Legacy, and then a Grand Exit That'll Leave Their Tongues Wagging. Now, what I can appreciate, Peter, is that the inspiration behind your book was at a dear friend's home going, and when they brought his boat out there, and the preacher said, you know what, I never thought I'd be saying this, but then it was like, bring on the margaritas. You talking about a grand exit that'll leave their tongues wagging, and when you were offering different ways of making your mark, I could hear, like, going back to a time when simple things mattered, like maybe grandmother's chicken soup recipe, my grandmother's gumbo recipe or popcorn balls, or a time when women or men, mostly women, would have been canning fruit or perhaps cutting the squares out to create a quilt, a family legacy, grandmother's recipes, maybe the canisters that, you know, a relative kept the sugar and flour in. family heirlooms. There's ways to leave our mark here. You could plant a community garden in your neighborhood. You know, there's just like this thing where we can actively engage in living and leaving these marks and coexisting and communicating and contributing, if you will. So when it comes to leaving a mark out in the world, we've talked about the things that we can do as far as creating a book and telling our story. For me, in my case, writing my memoir, or like you were saying, you can write a letter home, you can write your autobiography. What are some of the ways that people can possibly leave their mark in the community? Now that people are getting back out into the world, going back to school, going back to the workplace, what are some of the ways in which we can be kinder to each other and help society and leave our marks in this way?
Well, Beverly, before we took the break, you made a comment that fits right into that topic and right into one of the sections that I have in the book that's called A Legacy They Can't Eat, Wear, or Spend. And you talked about being positive and setting an example. And there's a lot of ways that people do set an example through their actions and their beliefs. And I have a whole list of things in there, like simple things, but integrity. And I have the example of a person that hired a landscaper, and the landscaper made a mathematical error and charged $250 less than he should have. And the homeowner pointed that out and paid him the full amount. There are people that leave a spiritual legacy through their faith. I've known a couple of people, actually I've known of a couple of people, but don't know who they are, that left an anonymous legacy of generosity in their community. If somebody was down and out and was having a tough time, maybe a bag of groceries would show up on the doorstep unexpectedly. Maybe an envelope with $50 in it would be stuck in the door, just leaving some kind of a contribution. Another thing that is kind of maybe a pet peeve of mine is of people accepting responsibility and doing the right thing or doing what they should. I see many times, as I'm sure you have too, when you go to a mall or to a Walmart or someplace where, or a grocery store where they have grocery carts, some people simply will not put their carts away, and they're sitting out in the lot and the wind gets them and they're crashing into cars and things like that. So just by doing responsible things and by having passion and dedication and showing humility are all some simple ways to leave a mark on one's acquaintances by just the way one leaves a lifestyle.
What a phenomenal answer. And I'd like to add to that empathy and acts of kindness. That's what I'm drawing from your answer. These small, random acts of kindness. And you took me back to my memory bank when I lived in California. I'm a native of California. I've only been gone a year and some change. But I remember I was going to a drive-thru, and this car cut in front of me. And I was like, you know what? And I sat there a little, you know, I felt a little, some kind of way for a minute, you know, and I had to, you know, let go of that negative energy. So what? You just wait a little bit longer. They got in front of you, you know. They zipped around and got in front of you. So I ordered my food, and when I pulled up to the window to pay for my food, the car that had zipped in front of me had paid for my food. Now, I have sat there and fussed about that car being in front of me. And then I get up there, and the car whoever the individual was had paid for my food. And I said, oh, really? And I was just too done. I said, okay, well, then let me pay for the person. I said, well, how much is the car behind me? How much is their food? And I said, well, let me pay for theirs, right? And so that's what I did. And I just thought that was too funny. You just never know when you're getting a blessing, but, you know, you're fussing and you're, you know, blah, 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 and then, you know, you find out that that person blessed you. Well, I remember another instance where you mentioned, you know, leaving something on someone's doorstep, or, you know, you see someone leaving groceries on someone's doorstep if you, you know they're having a bad time. You know, the Jackson family, the patriarch, Joseph Jackson, he worked in the labor industry in Indiana, Gary, Indiana, where the Jacksons are from. They had this thing in their family where they would, it was called something like a ding-dong dash, where they would leave groceries on someone's doorstep. They'd ring the doorbell and dash. And so you're reminding me of that, where you leave help so that people would naturally get that help without feeling any type of embarrassment or shame for being human. We're all human, and humans need help. And that's what we've gotten away from, is being able to help each other. And so all of these acts of kindness that you've suggested and ways of showing empathy and compassion is well taken. And so thank you so much for that. Now, out of all of the books that you've published, which children's books, your children's picture books, which books would you say would suggest these types of random acts of, or we won't say random acts at this point. I want to say that illustrates the morals that we want to see passed on. Because with children's books, those are special creative moments that we can actually make a difference in the life of a child. And I used to love to read as a child. I still love to read. But when you're a child that loves to read, it takes you into another world. I don't care where you are. If you can get your hands on a book, it can give you this outlet as a child and open up your mind's eye and widen your scope, and suddenly your world can be changed. It doesn't have to be such a narrow scope as to what you may be experiencing in that moment, because the book can give you this wider outer view. Out of your books, what would you say speaks to a child in that way, to give them that outer view and that moral compass?
Well, Beverly, I'd like to tell you a little story, if I can, about how I got involved in writing children's picture books. I think I mentioned to you when we talked before that I had never really intended to write college textbooks, and that kind of developed because my accounting friend took me along on a ride to one of his clients that had 5 or 6 years worth of accounting records in absolute chaos, and it gave me the idea of writing the first shoebox accounting simulation that was ever published, my McGraw-Hill. Well, then that connection with that editor at the McGraw-Hill led to the connection with another editor, which led to a connection with a editor in the trade division. And at that same time, I was working on writing a nonfiction book called Earn Money at Home. And it was one of the first books of its kind that was ever published. McGraw-Hill published that, and it was sold in bookstores across the country. It was on the market for 17 years. And after
wow.
It came out, I had a friend that owned a small bookstore in our community in northwest Iowa, about 15 miles north or south of the Minnesota border, and it was in January she was so eager to have a book signing for the first author she ever really knew personally. So she scheduled this book signing for my book, and it was on a Wednesday night, I believe. It turned out it was 26 degrees below zero. There were people showed up for my book signing. The woman that owned the bookstore was there. My accountant friend that I had gone with came there to give support, and a woman showed up that bought a book, the only one that we sold that day. And she made a comment that I have never forgotten and never will. She said, "I wanted to get an autographed copy of your book because when you die, it might be worth something." And I thought that was pretty crazy.
Good Lord.
So anyhow,
thank you, lady.
Where the story is going, since I didn't have anybody there to sign books for, my accountant friend and I visited, and he said, "You know, I've been trying to find a book on the Ten Commandments for little children that I could use at home for my own children, and I can't find one. I've looked everywhere. Why don't you and this minister friend of ours get together and write that book?" And I thought, well, that's a pretty good idea. And long story short, this mutual friend of ours who was a minister and I got together, and we wrote a 32-page children's picture book called The Ten Commandments, An Explanation for Children. And it was taking each of the Ten Commandments and making a simple explanation for them that would be something that they could understand in language, you know, that would be similar to them. And then we decided to write another four of them on other religious-related topics about, you know, what is baptism, what is communion, what is a church congregation, things like that. And we were fortunate enough to find a publisher. You mentioned one of my publishers was Northwestern Publishing Company. That is a religious publisher in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And they published the series of children's picture books that we wrote that were that started with that night with the Ten Commandments for Children. And that's one of the projects that I'm very proud of because it gets to the heart of presenting good, pure advice to young people about a good way to live your life.
I love it. That is amazing. You know, you just never know, first of all, how it turned out that, well, maybe, you know, you didn't sell out as far as the books, but like an old associate told me, when something, you know, may have went south, to look for God in it. Look for God in it. And I never forgot that, right? So I would look for God in it, meaning to find purpose in that problem, turn it into something that benefits to the glory of God, for your purpose, for being there in that moment. You do not have to live in the problem. You can take that moment and turn it into purpose. And when you live by a moral that will allow you to look for God in a situation, that'll start to shape your thought processes to where you won't be so anxious for something. You know, you start looking for, okay, well, there's a reason behind this. Let me look for that reason. And for you to get out of that book signing something as tangible and as rewarding as being able to speak to children on a moral level, something simple as the Ten Commandments, something as simple as the Ten Commandments, and you're really teaching honest behavior. Thou shalt not steal. Well, you know, you can't just go to the store and start eating the candy because it's sitting out in the open. You know, that's a moral check. Yeah, that's a moral check. And so the book that you ultimately wrote is a moral compass, a moral checkpoint, the Ten Commandments, for the babies. You can't even imagine the impact of, you know, how many lives, you know, you help shape and mold, because it, being a whole person is just as simple as being able to have a moral compass, a healthy balance, a well-grounded, you see. It's just as simple as that. Now, give us the title of one of your other children's books before we take this quick commercial break.
Well, all of them were with the same publisher, and it was like the Ten Commandments, baptism, communion. What is a church? Describe what that amount. What is a congregation? And I'm failing my own test here, but there were eight of them that were on religious topics, various things that would teach young children some things about starting with the Ten Commandments and other phases of their religious life.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the books, have you had any of the children become adults and give testimony to the impact of any of your books on their life?
Well, I'm not aware of that, although I have certainly, particularly when I presented seminars down kind of in the Mid-South, talked to a number of people that came to my seminars that had talked about them giving testimonies in their churches. And I found that to be just a very powerful thing, where they shared a story where maybe things kind of fell apart for them. And then, however, they were able to triumph and get things back going even better than it had before some bad thing had happened to them. So I know that people definitely give testimony for things that have happened to them powerfully, but I'm not aware of any specific ones from people that might have read some of my books.
Wow, but just to know that you planted seeds all over in so many ways, because the one thing that we can do by writing and publishing books is reach the masses. And you'll never know the impact that you are having on someone's life. I have had an experience when I was in the workforce that I'm going to share when we come back after this brief commercial break. We are live on Tri-Family Channels, Men and Women of Honor Radio, with my guest, Peter Davidson. I'm Beverly Black. I am the creator of Tri-Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand.
You know the name.
You saw their story on Unsung.
You remember the hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the legendary Shine Light featuring Marshall Thompson.
For over 50 years, the legendary Shine Lights have performed all over the world to standing room only crowds.
And now here's a brand new book
from the only original remaining member of this fabulous group.
The book is entitled Last Man Standing by Marshall Thompson, which chronicles the group's rise to fame with two number one hits and dozens of Billboard top 10 hits. The Shylights were a force to be reckoned with. Last Man Standing is the story of a personal side of a man who sang about love, romance, and dreams. It will have you laughing out loud one moment and tearing at your heartstrings the very next. Last Man Standing by the legendary Marshall Thompson. Available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and eBooks.
And thank you for tuning in. We are back live on Men and Women of Honor Radio. I am Beverly Black, and it is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to be with you on this lovely Wednesday. And I want to say hot evening. It is 107 degrees, and I am coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, I was going to give testimony to something that happened to me. And it's really a moral checkpoint. When I was in the workplace, I didn't know that I had made an impression on a person just by how I would respond to a general salutation, a greeting, arriving to work and saying hello. And when people would speak to me, I would say, I'm blessed. Well, how are you, Beverly? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I don't care what you, greet me with. My response is, I'm blessed. Because just being alive, waking up and overcoming getting to work, overcoming not wanting to go to work, overcoming the vicissitudes of life, be it whether I was homeless or jobless or stressed or whatever. I have been through different ringers of life. And one day, one of my coworkers came up to me. She said, you know what, Beverly, I thought about something that you said the other day. I was having a bad time. She said, but I thought about what you would always say, I'm blessed. And she said, I turned my whole attitude around. I realized that I'm blessed. And I was blown away. Because all I know is I'm responding to the greetings that we are giving each other. I don't know that I'm actually ministering to someone in a way that's going to carry them through a tough moment. And so I say that to say that you never know what you're saying in as simple as two words, I'm blessed. You know, and what that can do to someone. And it's really about carrying over a positive attitude. The words may not have even had anything to do with it, but the fact that this person was encountering a positive attitude in me, knowing that I have to get up and get to work just like she did every day, drop children off, put gas in, get there, you know. And so people are going through life, and you can be ministering to someone just by having a positive attitude, just by telling someone don't give up on themselves, giving someone the change that you have from the money that you were blessed to spend when you brought your groceries or paid a tribute to whatever it is that you were spending, just from God blessing you to have a little bit. If you are responsible with little, God will bless you with much. But if we hoard our blessings and we don't see the benefit in sharing and caring about each other and passing on these moral messages, and like I said earlier to my guest, these small acts of kindness, then we're going to be a lost race, and we are the human race, and it is about showing our humanity. So that's my rant. I'm Beverly Black, and I'm going to return to my guest, and I'm going to ask him for his final comments on being that person that someone can look upon in deed or in word in life, a man or a woman of honor. Peter, your final thoughts.
I would like to comment, first of all, on your greeting of I'm blessed, which is just a verbal expression of the positive attitude that you have mentioned several times during our visit here today. And I think that's a wonderful visit. As far as some of the ways that a person can leave a mark and a legacy, there are just so many things a person can do that will be fun for the individual doing it, and that will provide joy and entertainment and benefit and education for other people. For instance, starting a scholarship and funding that, if you're financially able to do that, for someone to get an education in a field that you believe is worthy of, sponsoring some legislation if there's something that you're really passionate about in your community or in your school district that you think needs to be addressed, this is a good way to likewise establish a legacy of some kind. Volunteering, even if your name is not being used in attachment with something that is a result of that volunteering, is still a great way to leave a legacy of some kind for future generations. And then there's, in the book, I mentioned what I might consider to be some really crazy things, Beverly, that a person could leave a legacy for future generations. Did you know, for instance, that the Wayne State University of Medicine in Detroit does test crashes, and they say that a test dummy works pretty well, but there's nothing that works for a test crash dummy as a real live cadaver. And the person could donate their body for that purpose if they wanted to. There's a place in Tennessee at the University in Knoxville. They have a body farm where if a person is a little bit far out, they can donate their body for forensic observation. And there's a lot of ways that people can do things to create a benefit for future generations and current generations that a person might want to exercise their imagination and come up with some really great ideas in addition to the numerous ones that I put in the book.
Wow, wow. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us this evening. But I think that those are some phenomenal ideas, and Gumbel for the Soul Publications created the Gumbel for the Soul Literacy Program and Scholarship when our first book was released in the year of 2005. We raised money and we gave away books. The books were focused on literacy. Within the pages were over 50 scholarships that were going to waste because they weren't being applied for. So there are just a plethora of ways in which we can impact our humanity and society. And like you said, Peter, there are some creative ways out there, and we can put our mind at work and think outside the box and outside the normal grid and pattern of what we've become accustomed to, because life is evolving and there are paradigm shifts still waiting for us to partake in. I want to thank you for being my guest, Peter Davidson, and I do know that you have an author's page on social media, facebook.com. You look for author Peter Davidson. Are there any other ways that you invite our listeners to reach out to you? Do you have an Amazon page, or do you want to give any information out?
Well, I have a author page on Amazon, Peter Davidson. I have a author page on Goodreads, which is where a lot of book reviews are done. And then if somebody really wanted to contact me and had a specific question or comment, I would not mind at all. In fact, I would welcome if somebody wanted to email me. And my email address is pretty easy. It is Peter Davidson, followed by the digits 129, at gmail.com. Peter Davidson, 129, at gmail.com. And feel free to write, and I definitely will reply.
Peter Davidson, thank you so much once again. It has been a privilege speaking to you on a few of our shows here live on Tribe Family Channel. You can listen to the archives by visiting our studio at blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. We also have several books coming out, GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. Our open calls for submissions is available on our website. And if you want to pre-order by becoming a silver sponsor of Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the Shy Lights, the foreword is by Dr. Otis Williams of the Temp locations, you can visit our social media page at facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel. We're also on Twitter at Tribe Family US. Be sure to tune in. We'll be back live here Friday with Kimberly Lewis on Black Owned and Busy. That's it for now. Be blessed, stay cool, and be safe. Peter Davidson, thank you once again for being my guest sponsor, and we will be in touch soon. You take care and God bless.
And thanks for having me. Take care.
You as well. Thank you.
If I fail, if I Tribe Family Channel.